Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Wamsley.
Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Wamsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, today I'm going to talk about the Book of Life. Over the last 30 years, most of you have heard me speak about the Book of Life in one way or another, in one aspect of another of the Book of Life. Part of the Book of Life is the rules that you learn to live by. As you go through life and you learn things, you create rules. And I have all kinds of rules. In our company, we call them Delisms. Somebody came up with that cute little quirk for it. But, you know, the bottom line is I found things that work in life and I follow them. And don't deviate from the rules of life. The only time people fail is when they deviate from the rules of life. Now, most people out there think that life is hit and miss. Throw a thousand things on the wall, throw as much mud up on the wall as you can, see what sticks. That's the typical type A personality, and they do this for a while and do that for a while, and they do this and fail and do that and fail. And sometimes they get lucky and one of them works. But then once that happens, because of the way they found success, in most cases, they end up losing it. Because they haven't sustained the quality rules in life necessary to make it through. That's not what I'm going to talk about today. What I'm going to talk about today is the concept of chapters in the Book of Life. And the meaning behind that is, look, I'm 65 years old. When I was young, no male in my family had lived past 65 years of age. Now, my uncle has since then. I have one male over 65. But at that point, no one had ever lived past 65 years of age. So I came to the conclusion, and I made an assumption. And the assumption was, I probably won't live past 65 years of age. And so I set out to live my life as if I would not live past 65 years of age. Now, what did that do? Well, when I was writing my Book of Life, and by the way, what I want you to understand from today's conversation is we all write our own books of life. You decide early on in life what you want to be, what you want to do, where you want to live. And unless you're just one of those type A wandering generalities, as Zig Ziglar would call them, if you're one of those wandering generalities, just go around and do whatever the world wants you to do, wherever the wind blows, you go there. If you're not one of those wandering generalities in life, you have to have a plan. You have to have a course. And think about, you say, well, the wind blows you. Sure, the wind blows you. But think about a sailboat. The wind's blowing one direction, sailboat wants to go the other way. It still goes the other way. It just tacks back and forth and inches its way to where it wants to go. But when the wind gets behind it, boom, it takes off and goes real fast. That's the way life is. We tack back and forth many times, fighting against a strong headwind to get where we want to go. And then something changes and opens up our eyes and we can see a new way and the wind gets to our back and boom, we blow up and go. That's the way life really works. Now, what I want you to understand is all of us have a book of life. And I sat down today and decided, okay, what are my chapters in my book of life? And what was important when I wrote each chapter of the book? I think you should sit down and do the same thing. Start out when you're a little kid. What was important to you? What were the values that drove you when you were a little kid? And what did it end up doing for you? So I'm going to share my book of life with you. And I'm going to share with you how I went through life and made changes. It's pretty much about every 10 years. You know, it's kind of a 10-year thing where you want to change. And you look at life, you go, man, I'm different. The world's different. Now what? What does this chapter of my life look like? What's important to me at this chapter of my life? What am I going to do differently now? And so I'm going to share that with you. And I'm sharing it with you simply to be open enough and honest enough with you so that maybe you can be open enough and honest enough with yourself. Because most of us can't admit to where we came from and why we got where we got. Whether that's good or bad, whether it's good or bad, we did it, right? Whether you believed you could or you believed you couldn't, you were right. There are 18 billion self-help sayings that I could rattle off to you that you've heard over and over again. But if they don't stick, if you don't do something with them, it doesn't matter. So my chapter, my book of life started when I was a young kid. My mom was a drug addict and my dad was a workaholic. And my mom is an alcoholic and a drug addict. My dad was a workaholic and an alcoholic. And so pretty much I raised myself and I had to raise my little sister. At that point in my mind, I made a decision. My parents are insane. My parents are unhappy. My dad is a workaholic and he's miserable alcoholic. My mother is a alcoholic addicted to prescription drugs and useless to the world, laid in bed all day long. I'm not going to be like that. That was it. So I read all kinds of books, like Pulling Your Own Strings by Dr. Wayne Dyer, How to Live Free in an Unfree World by Brown, all kinds of books. I've gone over them before in other shows, so I'm not going to go into depth. But at that moment, that was the most important thing. And what did it do? It gave me the sustenance to step away from my parents' belief system. Now, maybe your parents are good people and have great belief systems. Don't get me wrong. Mine were not. I did not want to follow in the footsteps of my parents. In fact, I looked at my whole family and there was nobody in my family that I really wanted to follow except my great uncle, which owned a bunch of farms. So he was kind of successful. And then later on, my uncle was a professor and then owned a couple businesses. And so that was like the closest thing to entrepreneurialism that I saw. And that was really the only thing I saw that I could look to. So I looked at other places and looked outwardly. The next thing that hit me was when I was in fourth grade, I weighed like 200 pounds and I was fat and I had Coke bottle glasses. Back then, they didn't know how to make glasses for really blind people unless they were really, really thick. And my dad shaved my head because he couldn't afford to take me to the barber. So he just took a clipper and shaved my head every week or so. Just insane stuff. So I had a complex, and the complex was based on the fact that when I went to school or I hang out in the neighborhood, kids didn't want to play with me. Now, in this day and age, oh, fat people are loved. It's okay to be fat. You can't blame people. You can't fat shame people. But when I was a kid, you got fat shamed, right? And they're like, what the heck are you doing? Why are you so fat? Why are you so ugly? And so I had a goal at that point in my life, in that chapter, to get out of that. I didn't want to be that fat kid. I knew that in class, the good-looking kids, both the boys and the girls, both of them, got better grades than the other people. They got called on in class. Even though I was smarter than everybody else, they called on other people because, I don't know, they're just prejudiced against dealing with fat people. And so I didn't decide that I was going to go march in the streets and try to change the world. I looked in the mirror and said, dude, you're fat. You need to change. So I went on and got the information. And I got a book by a guy named Bruce Randall who went from 400 pounds down to 222 pounds and won Mr. Universe. And there it was. Everything I needed to know in that chapter of my life. It took me about a year and a half to make massive changes and then to maintain and sustain those. I was a bodybuilder for the next 10, 15 years. That was a chapter of my life from age 14, 15 when I started working out all the way to age probably, I think, 32 when I quit bodybuilding. That was a chapter of my life. Fitness was a chapter of my life. What did it do for me? It gave me all the confidence in the world for multiple reasons. One, because now I was physically fit and I looked good. But number two, it proved to me that if you can find somebody that knows how to do something, you can copy it. It's out there. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. It's out there. And if you put together a plan and you stick to the plan, you can do it. So I lost like 100 pounds, got skinny. Then went back and worked out and got big. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on the effective way to run a business.
There are people that run their businesses on a shoestring. If you own an apartment complex and you have no cash, that's not a very effective way to run a business. My businesses, each and every one of them, have cash savings In other words, we could make no money or make very little money and we'd still survive. For those of you that haven't thought it through that far and you don't have any cash savings, let's get you in here and get you educated on how to save what you already own. The mom and pop businesses are going to take a major hit. If you've been running your business that way, you need to get into Lifestyles right now and learn how to operate your business the right way.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today I'm talking about the book of life, and I've just been sharing my book of life with you, all the different segments of my life. And what I want you to understand is that life goes on segment by segment, where you are in a position in your life. You're in that position psychologically. You're in that position physically. You're in that position financially. You're in that position socially. And you set up a way of life, a predetermined way to approach life when you're in that segment of your life. And I call that a chapter of your life. So I've gone through many, many chapters, and the chapters many times overlap a little bit of each other. In other words, I'm in this while I'm getting out of that, and I'm over here in this while I'm getting out of that, and so on and so forth. But I'm reading these off to you because I want you to follow this through this show. And later, if you go back and listen to the podcast over and over again, and what I want you to see is how I have defined my life and what it did for me. So the first segment of my life got me away from controlling, manipulative people telling me that I have to be as messed up as they are in life. That was my parents. And so I learned you do not have to be controlled and manipulated. And number two, you don't have to be as messed up as the people around you. You don't have to believe the lies that they live in their life every day. You can live a different way, even though they tell you it's the only way to live. Number two, I found out you don't have to be fat. You don't have to be physically out of shape. And you don't have to let people push you around and berate you and make you feel terrible about yourself. You can fix all of those things. And so I learned to take physical control of my life, self-control of my mental ability to say, in which I use it even to this day, willpower, to say I'm going to stop eating and I'm going to stop drinking and I'm going to start exercising and realize that you don't need all that stuff. You think you need it. It's really an addiction. Food is an addiction. Alcohol is an addiction. Spousal acceptance is an addiction. Many people just do whatever their spouse tells them to do, and you find you waste hours and hours and hours a day not getting anything done that you need to get done because you're doing the minutia of life that people want you to put into your life. And I found I didn't have to do that. Now, the next part was I became an athlete. That's different than just getting into shape and being fit. Being an athlete is dedication. It's something that shows you you can put yourself into something and you can win. No, we're not becoming an athlete to be number 4, number 5, not even number 3. If you remember what Nelly said, one is the only winner. That's all there is, number 1. It's just something you just got to understand. You got to be a winner. People who win get everything. People who take second and third get nothing. That's just the way it works. And so you have to realize that in sports and athletics and fitness give you the kind of self-control, the kind of competitiveness that's necessary to go out in the world and succeed at business, to succeed at finding a spouse and commanding a relationship that's worthwhile, and not just taking some schmuck into your life because that's all you can get, settling for this weak example of a spouse. Many of you know that. When I say that right now, you're going, man, I know. I just took what I could get. But you don't have to. But you have to be aggressive. You have to be a winner. You have to know what winning means. You have to have a goal. You have to go after the goal. And athletics taught me all that. Taught me how to be a winner. So I did athletics until I was about 32, and by then I'd lifted so many weights and so heavy that I had destroyed my joints and I no longer was going to be able to compete. Plus, I got to the level where the next level was national professional bodybuilding, which meant I would have to take a ton of steroids. And I just made the decision. I didn't think that was where I wanted to go with my life. Maybe that decision was made because I thought, I've beaten people that are natural before. They have a better natural physique than I do, but I beat them with a little bit of steroids. But now I'm going to go up against guys that are naturals, that are taking a ton of steroids on top of that. I go, you know, I don't know that even if I took a ton of steroids, I could beat those guys. Now, years later, I look back and I find out I was wrong. I could have, because I now understand what I didn't understand back then. But back then, I didn't have that ability to see that. And so I cut it off. I let it go. Didn't see that being the rest of my life. I found that in that chapter of my life, I was working out 2 or 3 hours a day. I was working at the health club where my business, where I was an employee, working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and then throwing a couple hours of bodybuilding on top of that. I had no life. So while my business life of 12 years of working 12 hours a day, that was my employee phase of my life, was going on, I buried myself in bodybuilding as to just tack. Remember what I said in sailing? When the wind's going against you, you just tack back and forth and hope you get a little bit forward. I was just tacking. I was just getting by, doing my bodybuilding, living out life the best I could, and just gutting out, going to work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. But then something changed. I lost a bunch of money in the stock market on Black Monday, and then I realized this isn't going to work. I'm never going to retire this way. I'm never going to get anywhere this way financially. I got to find something else. So I started looking for other things, and I found real estate investing. And when I started investing in real estate, it was another change in my life. I saw it was so effective and so profitable that I made a plan. New chapter. Start all over. I'm not going to be working 12 hours a day. I quit my 12-hour day job. They asked me to come back. I said, only if you'll work me only 4 days a week. That way, I'm only working 48 hours a week instead of 68 hours a week. They agreed to work me 4 days a week, but still had to work 12 hours a day because that's just the way the job worked. And I put the other 3 days a week to work building business. Building up my rental real estate business. And that became the next chapter of my life. And eventually I built up so much passive income in my rental real estate that I decided to quit my job because I didn't need the small amount of money I was earning at my job anymore. And now all of a sudden I was retired. I'm in a new chapter. I'm retired. I'm retired at 34 years of age. And I look around at 34 years of age and I see there's absolutely nobody my age out here. There's nothing to do because there's nobody to do it with because nobody is retired at 34 years of age. And so I decided to start looking into other things. I started going to other seminars and listening to people, motivational speakers, trying to find where I was going to go. And then I figured something out. 95%, if not 99% of all motivational speakers and self-help people and real estate gurus are just a sham. They're just a sham. They really don't care about anybody, and they're really not teaching you success principles that work. They're just selling you books and tapes. Back then it was books and tapes, and then it became CDs, and now it's online courses and videos and webinars, and it's all out there. It's just a sham. I see them every day. Every day I see another video about how to make money on the internet, this way, that way, trading, this, that, blah, blah, blah. It's all a scam. So I said, somebody needs to teach something that actually works. I can teach real estate. And I decided to go out there and coach real estate investing in a local basis. Didn't even advertise, didn't even market, plenty places, people heard about me, they signed up. Eventually it got to where I had so many people, I brought someone on to help me, and then we started to grow. I'll tell you what happened next when we come back from the break. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Now a word on retirement from Del Wamsley.
The average person thought they'd retire at 59 and a half, 60, then they said 64, then it was 65, then it was 66, then all of a sudden they jump right to 70, 70 is the new 59, 70 is the new 64, then it was, you know, hey, most people are going to work all the way into their 80s.
Do you really want to work in your 80s, or would you like to retire in 5 years or less? Find out how on Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're going through the book of life, and I've just been sharing my life in the different chapters of it so as that you might look at yourself and think about the same things and decide where you were at different points in your life. And I'm trying to make the point that about every 10 years I reinvent myself, and things get better. And they get better because I'm smarter, I'm older, I'm more mature, I've got more wisdom. And even though it's tougher, I'm not as physically fit as I used to be. I now have a different level of fitness, a different goal for fitness. And so we'll get into that when we get this last chapter, because we're right now, we just stepped into the retirement chapter of my life where I retired at 34 years of age. I really had nothing to do, so I decided doing local mentoring here. And for about 10 years, I was very happy just sitting around and making money, buying real estate, teaching other people to buy real estate, helping them to buy real estate, buying real estate with other people together as partnerships and so forth. And I did that for about 10 years. Never had in much of an ad. We had a little ad that was a 2-inch column by about 4 or 5 inches long. And that was the only ad. It was in the Chronicle newspaper. It's the only ad we ever had. We had no video, no radio, no TV, no internet marketing, Google, anything, you know, Facebook, none of that stuff. And we did that for about 10 years and we just grew and grew and grew. By the time we were at 10 years, what had happened though, was that people would start coming in from all over the country. They're flying in. They'd have heard of us, just friends and referrals. It was mostly referrals. At that point, 60 to 70, maybe even 80% of our business was referral business, other people sending their friends in and family in. And what happened was that some of my members were from out of town, and you started to see groups of members, because one guy would join and he'd send for his friends and they'd join, and pretty soon there was a group of them. And there got to be large groups in some cities. One of the cities that got to be a large group in was Dallas, Texas. And one of the people that had done well here said, I'll go up there and open this place for you. Why don't you open one in Dallas? And I said, no, I can't be in two places at one time. It's really, I'm not doing this to kill myself. I'm doing this to enjoy life and to help other people, right? You know, this isn't something where it's corporate America or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But somehow the guy convinced me, hey, look, I'll do all the work. You just, you know, set it up and whatever. And so we set it up and duplicated our team from Houston up to the Dallas office. And in Houston, I was doing seminars of anywhere between 1 and 200 people a month, new members. And we probably had, I'd guess, a total of 10,000 total members in our group at that time. And we went to Dallas, and the first day I went to Dallas, my gosh, there was 350 people in my first seminar there. It blew my mind. Then I realized there is pent-up desire for our product everywhere, for people that need help. They need to figure out how to retire. They need to figure out how to supplement their income. They need passive income. And they need motivational direction. And so Dallas took off. It just blew up, and all of a sudden we were like double the size in no time at all. And then after that, we had people complaining that we needed something down in San Antonio and Austin, so we opened up in San Antonio. Then we had people complaining it was too far to drive from Austin to go to San Antonio, so we opened up in Austin. We have people that started accumulating out on the West Coast, and Phoenix seemed to be a great place to buy, so everybody was buying in Phoenix, so we opened up in Phoenix. And then people accumulated on the East Coast, and Atlanta's kind of the central hub for the East Coast. So we have offices in all of these different places now. You just have to ask yourself, how did that happen? Now, that's just the office. The members, there's members in every state, 50 states in union, and nationally or internationally also. So we went on to go from local consulting to state consulting to national consulting. And then all of a sudden, we started having these expos. And I said, look, if we're going to have an expo, it's got to be the best one in the country, first one we ever did. We were seeing expos out there that had 600-700 people for the big ones, the small ones that have 200 or 300 people. Somebody had an expo this weekend. I think they probably had like 7,500 people there. Our first expo was 2,500 people. The next year was 3,500 people. The next year was 4,000. Then it was 4,500. Each year the expo blows up. This year we're 90 days out. We've already sold almost the number of tickets that are available for the space. This expo did one thing. It brought people from all over the country to fly in for a 3-day event and meet thousands and thousands of people that have used the product successfully and retired and become rich in many cases. And so once that happened, now the thing blew up. It just went crazy. And, you know, there's a situation out there where you say that you should be able to have a multiple of doubling your total sales every 10 years in a business. And we did that. I mean, every 10 years, if you look back at any of the 30 years we've been here, if you look back at any 10 multiple in there, cut out 10, from the beginning of that 10 to the end of that 10, we had doubled the number of sales that we were making, hence the number of members that we had, et cetera, et cetera. And we had to start buying infrastructure people. I've got like 2 full-time IT guys that work full-time that are both not just IT guys. They are developers. One's a software developer. The other one is a software programmer, the guy that would put the plan together. I got multiple layers of marketing people, multiple layers of consulting, which is we're proud of. Massive number of consultants all of them very high-end, massive number of what we call mentors, very, very high-end. I mean, it's just unbelievable the quality of the staff that we have. So what has that done? Well, this has put me in a situation where I can't do it all, and I just decided 5 years ago, you know what? I've got to step away from the business because it's just too much. I'm 60 years old now, and if this business is going to continue to be able to take care of people, we need a legacy plan. So 5 years ago, we put in place a legacy plan where I don't do anything anymore. And we wanted it, and the theory behind this chapter in my life was, I want to see that it works without me before I'm not here, and it has to work without me. So people ask me all the time, what are you going to do if you ever die? Say, I don't do anything now. There's no difference. But that was not by chance, folks. That was planned. That was a chapter in the book. The chapter in the book was the legacy chapter. How do I replace everything I do with people that are better? What I found was I do 10 things. I needed 10 people to replace me, though, or really probably five. And those five had to be better at that one thing that they're doing than I was at it, and they are. So now we are way more productive than we were when I ran everything. So that's the chapter. But now I'm at the chapter here, and I've been at this chapter here for the last 5 years. And you're starting to say, well, what are you going to do now, especially since the chapter, I'm coming up on the end of the chapter of you're not going to live past 65 years of age. So now we've come full circle. I'm back to the end of the book again, and it needs a new chapter. So I'm talking to myself, and this is what the Today's program is about. What self-talk are you having? So I sat down and had a self-talk, and then I contacted my marketing people, contacted my executive vice president, and said, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to double what we're doing right now in the next 10 years. Double it. By the time I leave, this place will be so huge. It will be everywhere in the country, every city in the country that's large enough to support an office. We're going to double in 10 years. And I said, that's going to be my reason to live for the next 10 years, because I got nothing to live for. I'm already wealthy. That's my reason to live. And then I started thinking about, okay, well, if I'm going to do that, what else am I going to do? Well, the last 5 years, I've made it a point to buy a bunch of passive apartment complexes, and I'm buying other businesses. I own, gosh, I'm going to take a round number and say 17 different companies, 17 different businesses that I don't work in. I don't have anything to do. I don't open, I don't close, I don't have a key, I don't even decide what happens other than major big decisions. That's it. And I keep buying businesses like that, that I don't run, don't have anything to do with. That's how I have passive income. That's how I continue to increase my passive income. That's how I continue to increase my net worth and my passive cash flow, which is going to lead to the following information when we come back from the break, and that is, wow. So now that you've amassed massive amount of income, massive amount of wealth, you've succeeded in building your business larger than you'd ever dreamed by 10 or 20 times. What do you do next in life? That's the conversation you got to ask yourself. What are you going to do next in life? We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited invites you to the world's largest wealth and passive income expo, September 3rd and 4th, Irving, Texas. You'll connect with successful investors and industry experts. Learn being real estate retired at any age. Attend breakout sessions with industry experts. Learn from real people successfully investing in real estate right now. Leave with your passive income plan in hand. The entire Lifestyles Unlimited team of realtors, mentors, educators, and operational consultants want to meet you Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th in the Metroplex Irving Convention Center, Las Colinas. Join thousands of top investors and multimillionaire real estate investor Del Walmsley. Del is mentor to top award-winning investors across the country. Go to WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Enter promo code FREEDOM and receive $97 off any pass or package. That's WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Promo code FREEDOM. WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about the book of life and how at each point in your life you're living a different chapter and different things in your life come along. Your life changes because of who you are and what you have and your maturity level and your wisdom and your fitness or your health or your lack thereof and so forth. And so you write different chapters. But what I want you to understand is you're writing a chapter for your life right now. For the next 10 years of your life, what are you going to do? You need to write that chapter. That's all there is to it. You need to write that chapter. And if you don't write it, somebody else is going to write it for you. You're going to be that wandering generality, just wandering around doing whatever the world tells you to do. And at the end of that 10 years, you're going to be no better off than you are right now, and maybe even worse off. So I've shared with you the chapters of my book. I'm now going to share with you the concept that I'm sitting here right now writing the next 10 year of my life chapter. And it started with the business aspect of it. Okay, I'm going to double the size of my companies. And that's going to mean double the number of apartment complexes I own, double the number of businesses, service businesses I own, and double the size of Lifestyles Unlimited. That's just a goal for 10 years. And see, I'm not saying I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm saying everything I do from now on, though, will be focused at that's where I'm going. So if we ask a question, should we do X, Y, or Z? The answer for each will be, does it get us where we're going? That's a chapter. We're writing the book before it happens. Okay. Next thing is fitness. I decided, okay, look, I tried to go back up and be a bodybuilder after having multiple operations and cancer and so forth. And I found I don't care. And then when COVID came, I was up to about 255 pounds again, and I was big and I was strong. And then I realized, for what? I'm not going to compete anymore. I'm not going to. And I thought maybe I would, like in the over 70. I figured, you know, I could train for another 10 years and win the over 75 contest, which is stupid. And I realized there's nothing in that for me. I've already been that chapter, done that chapter. And then I realized, well, what is it when you think of what you want to be like in an elderly person? I keep thinking this. I can't get it out of my head. If you've ever seen this, you'll understand what I mean. Whenever you see old people, they show them at resorts. There's the guy, the silver fox guy, and the old lady with silver hair, and they're on the beach in the white clothes, and they're walking down the beach, or they're at a table having dinner at an expensive place on the beach. That's what I want. I want to be lean and mean, ripped to shreds, and dark tan, silver fox. I don't want to have a scraggly beard. I don't want to be nasty, dirty. I don't want to, you know, just lay around and get fat and be an old man. I want to be right there, involved, excited, doing things. And so I started a diet about a week ago, about 4 days ago, and I haven't had a drink in 4 days. I started eating like I should. I'm not going to go into my dietary preferences at this point, but man, already my blood sugar's gone down. You know, my body weight will eventually go down. My muscles are coming back. I started working out again twice a day, aerobics once a day, and then lift the weights in second workout. So I'm hitting all my fitness goals. But I'm not lifting heavy. I'm not trying to get big and strong. I'm not trying to be a bodybuilder. I'm trying to be lean, ripped old man. You know, I want to be a sexy senior citizen. That's what I want to be. That's my chapter. I want to be that guy. People go, man, that's a good looking old dude right there. You know, you're pretty good shape for an old guy. That's the comment. That's what I want to see. I want to fit in clothes. I want to be lean enough that whenever I find some nice clothes I want to wear, they just slide right on. You don't pull them up and squeeze them around your belly. You don't like pull your shirt and you button the top button around your chest and you're so fat in your chest and back that it pops the button. I want it just to lay. I want it to just hang. Just feel the silky shirts hang on my body and the pants hang on my hips. Yeah, that's the way it was when I was ripped to shreds as a bodybuilder. Everything fit perfectly. It was beautiful. It's unbelievably good feel. Being lean is the best feeling there is. Now, what about where I live? I live in an incredible home, and I call it a home, not a mansion. 16,000 square foot with a 20-car garage and a pool and koi pond area that's just unbelievable. Yet, it's still not a mansion. It's still not that thing where you know that you live in the most expensive house in the country and or where it's just ungodly. People pass out when they come over. Now, people really like the house, but There's a difference, right? So I'm looking at houses. Melissa and I are looking at homes all over the country, and we're thinking about, okay, maybe we'll get out of Texas now. We stayed here because this is where our corporate headquarters were, but we don't do anything in corporate anymore. So maybe we go somewhere else and be involved in the community there. So we're looking around the country in different places where it's, you know, just beautiful to live. I'm looking for beauty, and I'm looking for a mansion. And so you say, why? Well, because here's the interesting point of the last chapter of your life. Here's a problem you're not going to have for a while, probably. If some of you are out there, you have it, then you'll understand it, but it's very few. What if you have more money than you could spend before you die? I'm at that point in my life. I have way more money than I could spend before I die. And so what happens? You just give it away? I don't want to just give it away. You just waste it away? No. I want to go and make the next 10 years of my life. I want to live the dream life. I want to spend every penny. I want to die, and when I die, I want the check that they send me to my grave with to bounce. I've got so much money. I want to understand about money. When I had $1 million of assets, I thought I was rich, even though I had $1 million worth of debt. When I had $1 million net worth, I thought I was rich. When I made $1 million in 1 year, I thought I was rich. When I made $1 million in one transaction, I thought I was rich. When I started making over $1 million every single year, I thought I was rich. When I started making $1 million every month, I knew I was rich. And at some point, my friends, you've got to put that money back into circulation. You've got to get it back out in this world and give it back. And at the same time, realize you deserve to enjoy life. Now, I've just given you a book of life with 20 chapters. You got to figure out where you're at in your life and which chapter you're on. But remember this, as you write the chapter of the next 10 years of your life, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.